your desire tonight, Lord, one day at a time. Amen. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. We want to welcome our brother from Brother Dewey Moss's church. God bless you, brother. Good to have you in the service tonight. And we just have a couple of requests tonight. We want to continue to remember Sister Vicki Tidwell. Also, we want to remember Brother Greg and Sister Jenny. I think they're very sick tonight. Just pray the Lord will just touch them and supply their needs. And I believe that's all except for an announcement. Don't forget Saturday for the young people are back to the school splash from 3 to 8 here at the church. So remember that. So if you have a need tonight, if you just make that known by an uplifted hand, God sees what our needs are in the service. He's very mindful. Amen. Brother George, would you come tonight and lead us in prayer?
How many of you is happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're a privileged people tonight, Lord, to be here in your house. And Lord, we just ask you that you would, Lord, just once more, Father, come down in our midst tonight, Lord, and pray that you would minister to each and every need here tonight, Lord. And Lord, we just lift up Brother Greg and Sister Jenny to you tonight, Lord. We just ask you that you would touch them, Father. Touch their bodies, Lord. And Lord, heal them completely well, we pray. And Lord, we ask you that you would, Lord, just move forward with us in this service, Lord. These spoken requests, these unspoken requests in our heart, Lord, you know it, Lord. You know all about it. But Lord, we're trusting, Lord, that you'll do with them as you see fit, Father. And now, Lord, we pray that you would anoint the songs that are sung, Lord. Anoint, Lord, Brother Mark, Lord, to minister in music, Father, and, Lord, to sing praises unto you, Father, and, Lord, to lead us in worship, we pray. And, Lord, we just ask you that you be with Brother Jonathan tonight, Father. Lord, just like the writer said, Lord, may we not shun to declare the entire gospel, Lord, the whole counsel of God. Lord, may we hear that tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just, Lord, speak to every heart here tonight, Lord. Minister through your word, Father. Meet every need, Lord. And Lord, when we leave this place tonight, Lord, we pray that we'd be leaving better, Lord, for the hearing of the word of God. And we love you and we thank you now. We commit it into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.
We want to announce also, Sister Patience had her baby this week. Aquila, is that the name? 7 pounds and, is it 19? Or 14? 14. I can't even read. I'm going to have to get my glasses out. You know what? 7 pounds, 14 ounces, and she's going home tomorrow. So we praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank the Lord for our sister. And the baby's here, and they're both healthy. We thank the Lord for that tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together, if you will. I think it's in the key of G. If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have is that so hard for us human beings to do that, just to take it to the Lord and leave it? We want to keep bringing it to Him, but just take it and leave it tonight. Amen. I heard a message this week on perseverance. Oh, and I said, oh, we are so far behind. Lord, help us and give us strength. What if you went to the Lord and asked Him, Lord, touch me? You're not nothing but a dog. Can you imagine what people would be today? You know, you say something about church attendance or about this, they want to get mad and leave over that. Yep. Can you imagine? It's not for you. You're nothing but a dog. I said, Lord, help me, Jesus, please. I need you more than I ever needed you. Amen. We as the bride need you. Yes. Amen. What can wash away our sins tonight? Amen. Nothing but the blood. Let's sing that. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, and what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. There's no Jesus. Oh, aren't you thankful for it? Let's sing that A flat. I love you. I love you. That's why. I love you. And it's red. I love you. Written in red. And he's all I need. Can you say that? He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Aren't you thankful that you can worship him tonight and know that you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth? There's not many groups that can say that tonight, but the bride can. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And every day he's faithful to us. Why don't we sing this? Amen. Oh, and great is thy faithfulness. me can testify that great is thy faithfulness. All I have need of, thou hast provided. Not what I want, but all I have need of. And I thank you, Lord, for that. We'll let you have your seats. We'll have our ushers to come and receive the evening offering. You just give to the Lord. We'll just sing this chorus. I believe it's in the key. Yeah. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. Gave the musicians about 5 minutes to learn this tonight, so if we don't get it just right, then you understand, okay? But this song has a lot of meaning to it tonight. I cannot fail the Lord. never failed me yet. Every promise he's kept. If anybody has failed, it's been me. It's not been the Lord. He's always there to fulfill his word and to keep his promises. Amen. Let's stand together tonight, if you will, as we invite our brother. Minister what the Lord has laid on his heart. We'll sing this together. I think it's in the key of G. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. Let this world around me. Oh, let this world around me fade away. Oh,
come closer to him. Amen. Appreciate Brother Mark, musicians. Appreciate being in the house of God. Amen. I appreciate having the opportunity to worship him. The countries around this world are in such jeopardy of worshiping the true and living God. Sometimes we get complacent. I know that's kind of become a little fad word around here, but maybe God's dealing with us. Complacency is not a good thing. So help us, Lord, tonight. Appreciate Brother Joseph asking me to come. Appreciate all of you being here. And how many believes God can speak to us? Amen. See, if we don't believe that, we should just pack up and go home. Because I've got nothing, but he's got it all. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 26, very familiar story with you. Go to tonight and try to take a text. And I wasn't planning on going this way, and about 2 hours ago, I got my orders. So we're going to try to follow him, and I know he'll help us. The Seven Church Age book in the Permanent Church Age. Brother Brown makes a comment like this. He says, now before I get too far along, I want to mention that these early bishops thought they were above the word. Oh, They told people they could forgive them of their sins and the confession of their sins. He said they never was the truth. He says they began to baptize infants in the second century. They actually practiced regenerational baptism. He says no wonder people are mixed up today. They're so mixed up then, so close to Pentecost. Now they're in the most desperate condition, being 2,000 years away from the original truth. And he said, oh, Church of God, there is only one hope. Get back to the Word and stay with it. Amen. Back to the Word. A call back to the Word tonight. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 1 through 5, and then we'll skip down some very familiar to you. But it says, then all the people of Judea took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth, and he restored it to Judea. And after the king slept with his father, and 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah and was understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. You know, we go on and we read very scripture that he prospered in many ways, and in financial prosper, in battle prosper. God was with him on every turn. Verse 16, we pick him back up. And he said, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple. What did he do? He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense unto the altar of incense. And Uzziah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and they said unto him, it apparently not unto thee consecrated to burn the incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, and neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and from beside the incense altar. And Uzziah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out of them from thence. And yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. Amen. He was a mighty man. He was a man of God. He obeyed the word of God, but then he thought too much in himself. God help us tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, we stand behind the pulpit, Lord, in front of your bride. Lord, it is no small task. It is no small occasion. But God, each time we open the scripture, we expect to hear from you, Lord. We're living in a world, Lord, that's dying and falling apart. But your word said that it would be so. And Lord, there's a bride that's excited, Lord, to hear the warning of the last day, Lord, to hear the call and the voice of the trumpet sound, that we can rise up, Lord, and not be like the old many before us, Lord, but be overcomers in this day, Lord. Lord, we ask you to move this vessel aside, Lord. Move my thoughts, move my opinions, Lord, aside, that you may speak through me. Allow me to humble thyself. In your lovely name we pray. Amen and amen. And you be seated. And I thought this evening, as maybe about 2 hours ago, we decided to go this direction and a call back to the Word. We're living in a day that everybody wants everything but the Word. Everybody wants everybody's opinion. Everybody wants everybody's intellect. They want, what does this brother say? What does this pastor say? Well, what does God say? Because we're living in a day that you know, we can go so many places with it, but we find that history has begun to repeat itself. And if we go to the Old Testament and we take a study through the Old Testament, we find as each judge would come and help the children of Israel clean up, as the judge would go off the scene, they would go right back into their sins. There was nothing to hold them back to the word. But thank God we got the Holy Spirit this day. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what the world is doing, there's something to bring us back to the word. There's something to open our ears and open our eyes that we may see. And I thought of this, and I thought of the scripture, and I've used it in other texts before. But as I began to read it this evening, I thought, what did he do that was so bad? He went into a place that he wasn't supposed to go. The men of the Levites, the priesthood, of the sons of Aaron, the preachers of that day had the right and the honor to walk into that tabernacle and burn the incense. It wasn't for a king to do. And we begin to look at the Old Testament, we begin to see a king in the children of Israel was something that they wanted, not what God wanted. God placed the king there upon them to please them for what they was desiring. They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to have a man to look at. They wanted to have a man to answer to. They wanted to have a man to give them law and to give them what they could and couldn't do. But that was not the plan of God. The plan of God was to send a prophet in that day to bring onto the scene the word for that day. And when the king did not listen to that prophet, he was smitten by God and killed. And you know what? It's not changed in this day. God sent a prophet in our land. He brought us a word for our rapturing word. And when you leave that word, you are spiritually smitten of God that you cannot return back to that land. We're living in a day that's what so many people try to do. They try to go in and take the place of a preacher. They try to go in and take the place of look. Let's just be honest. There's too many people that are not called standing behind pulpits, preaching and handling the word of God. That's where the confusion is. God didn't call King Uzziah to handle the word of God. He didn't call King David. He didn't call all of these kings to handle. He called a prophet to come in that day and handle the word and break it so the people could see it. And you know what? That's the mix up today is we wind up and listen to everybody but the God called preacher in our day. We want to listen to everybody's opinion because they're so smart. They're so intellect. They know the scripture so well. They know the message so well. Oh, how could it be they're deceiving us? But they're deceiving you if they leave one word of the God. One word is all it was in the Garden of Eden. One word is all it was. Any time before, look, the devil's very good at his game. He's not going to come to you and ask you to create some big scene and go off some big sin. But he will get you to leave one word of God, to walk away from one thing. And what happens? It begins to multiply and multiply. And you begin to go down a slippery road that you can't stop yourself from going. And you wind up laying in a sin pit. Why? Because you left one word. What is it? Damn, Uzziah tried to be a preacher. You know what? We're living in a day. There's so many people trying to be preachers. And they're leading falsely. And they're leading churches away from the word of God. Come on. They're leading us away from the true and living God. What is it? If the bride, it could deceive the elect. If it was possible. It's not possible for you, the bride, to be deceived. But everybody around you, they're falling off. They're falling off the message bandwagon, as you'd say. They're falling off the word bandwagon. They're falling off. Why? Because of deception in our age. And it's coming from right here. It's coming from men of God. No, not men of God. But it's coming from men trying to place themselves in a position they're not called to be. We're living in a day that everybody wants a big calling. They want to be thought of well. They want somebody to look at them and say, oh, how great that he is. No, I want God to look at me and say, oh, how humble that he is before me. I want people to look and say, you know what? He did what God asked him to do. I want to be like at the beginning of his young days when Uzziah would look and he would do what God asked him to do. And God would bless him and God would strengthen him and God would give him. Why? Because God could trust him. God understood. He was listening to the word of God and he was moving in that. He's living in a day that, you know what? What we used to call the message church is scattering amongst the land. Come on. What we used to call the message church used to be united. But now the devil's got in amongst you and busted it up. Yes. Come on, the devil can't get you to get off this word, because if you're the elect of God, you can't be deceived. You're going to see the word of God. But what does he do? He creates flesh battles inside your own congregation, inside your own family. Why? To get you to leave one word. To get you to leave one ounce. Yeah. And he does it right here. What did he say in 1962? In the way of a true prophet. Brother Branham speaks on what that we just said. He said, Uzziah, as I spoke of at the businessman's breakfast the other morning, he was a great man. He held on to the Lord, but one day after God had strengthened him, he was a great example to Isaiah the prophet. But after he got strong and built up, the nations began to fear him. He built his walls and began his glamorous things. He got self-conceited. He got to looking at how great that he was. And when he tried to take the place of the preacher, come on, children of God. You see it in our land today. You see men rise up as businessmen. You see men rise up as influencers of the church. And then they try to take the place of a preacher. But only God calls his preachers. Living in the day, what do? They start thinking how great they are. Come on, look, we're not immune to this. It falls in our laps too. God begins to bless us. God begins to dwell in it. God begins to give us more than we can offer. He begins to give us more abundantly than we've ever received. And we can become so complacent in that we don't realize God's wanting us to move on. Not live in the signs. Look, the bride ain't looking at a sign. She's looking at the word. Look, John, that's the problem. Too many people's looking at the signs. Well, how many people got healed in your meeting? How many people got saved in your meeting? If it was one, it was all that God asked for him to. What I want to know is, did you preach the word in your meeting? Did you stand on the truth in your meeting? Did you tell the world there's a living God that's living in us today? A call back to the word. He said, he built up walls. Well, that's about what we do in message churches. Come on. We don't like it. But we begin to build walls around ourselves. Well, we got it and ain't nobody else got it. Well, the only reason you got it is because he gave it to you. And if he gave it to you, he can give it to them. He's not a picker and chooser of people, and you're not better than nobody else. But God chose you to be his bride. And his bride may still be out there on the street, but he's still going to give it to them the same that he gave it to you. But we begin to build walls up. We begin to think how glamorous we are, and we get nicer suits for it. It's so nice. Come on, we begin to look better. We begin to think of ourselves better. If we're not careful, we think we can do it without God. And that's what's happened in message churches around this land today. They get complacent in thinking they know enough to feed their congregation. They know enough to say what needs to be said. And they don't depend on God himself to come down and speak to a vessel anymore. Oh, look, I've said for a long time, I can take a church age book and a doctrine book and a Bible and go over here to the local college and give it to an English professor and have him to write me a sermon that would blow your minds. And him not believe a second of it. Him not believe a word of it. But he could put it together. Well, that's the problem with message preachers today. They can put it together. They can look at the word. They can put it all together. But they can't live what the word tells them to live. They can't live what the Holy Spirit leads them to do. Brother Branham could circle this nation seven times, this world seven times. He could preach to thousands upon thousands upon thousands. But yet he could walk down the street in Memphis and listen to God move for one person. Come on. Come on. That's a servant of God. He's not looking at numbers. He's not looking at how many people's following him. He's not looking at how many people's going to know about it. He ain't looking at how popular he's going to become from it. He's looking at what does God want me to do in this situation? Can I call back to the word of God and move the way many men's moved before? He can stand in a position and say, it ain't about me. Look, let's just be honest. He could have been anything he wanted to be. He could have been a millionaire. He could have rode around in BMWs and Mercedes, had $1 million suits, $1,000 shoes, and been the coolest guy in the crowd. But he says, what does God want me to do? Children of God, there ain't nothing wrong with prosperity. There ain't nothing wrong with having things. But when you place it before God, it becomes your idol. It becomes your God. He said, oh, he got to look into how great he was. And then when he tried to take the place of the preacher, God smote him with leprosy. And he died a leper. See, we're looking at leprosy, but you know what? We're living in a day that this isn't a fleshly warfare. This is a spiritual warfare. You may not have a physical disease of leprosy rise up inside of you, but spiritually God will smite you. And you'll find yourself despising to go to church. You'll find yourself despising to fellowship with one another. You'll find yourself wanting to be critical about everything that happens in the church and every family in the church and what everybody's doing wrong. What is it? You've got a spiritual leprosy upon you because you've left the Word of God and God has laid it upon you. Oh, and sometimes Brother Burnham goes down and he says, and sometimes when we see our organizations prosper, we begin to say, we're in this big group. Come on. We've all heard it. I like how sometimes we get in church and we act like we're not human. We act like we ain't never done nothing wrong. We act like we ain't never failed God. We act like we ain't never had a bad thought. But look, if we're living in this age, there's thoughts crossed every one of our minds. We've had thoughts. We've had opinions. We've looked at others and criticized others. But can you come back to the Word of God and say, God, correct me of where my failures are? He said, sometimes we see our organizations prosper. We begin to say, we're the big group. We're the biggest Pentecostal group there is. We have more than the rest of them. What do we take that and say? We're the biggest message group there is. You've got to come through my church to go into a rapture. You've got to pay tithes into my church to go into a rapture. You've got to hear to what I say. What is that? That's that Catholic spirit that's been coming across here trying to bind you, trying to hold you down. But God is calling his bride back to the true Word. Why was it so important that God would send a prophet in this last day? What did the scripture say? To turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, back to the original faith, to get their eyes upon all what the man had put in programs, all the indoctrinations and stuff that they had placed before, and take their eyes back to the Word of God. He said, oh, we're the biggest Pentecostal group there is. We have more than the rest of them. You can't get to heaven unless you belong to our group. And people read that quote and talk about denominations. Yeah. It happens right here in message churches around the land. If you don't believe what my pastor says, you can't get into heaven. That's hogwash. That's a lie of the devil. God wants you to look into his Word. Yeah. Oh, unless you belong to our group or something. When you get that way, you've separated yourself from the Word of the Lord. Right, remember the blanket is wide enough to stretch for your brother. That's exactly right. Take him in. Oh, how we need today a call back to the Word of the Lord. Oh, what our nation needs. But you know what? We're living in a day this nation's turned and left God. But there's still a bride here seeking to hear truth. And you know what? The bride likes to be corrected. It may hurt sometimes, but I like to be corrected. If I do something wrong, I like for somebody to tell me, you're going the wrong way. You're trailing off away from the Word of God. And if we're not careful in message churches today, that's exactly what we're doing. We got so high up on our own thoughts that we can pull quotes and justify anything that we want to do. But yet the Word says don't do it. That's why we got to take it from Genesis to Revelation. That's why we got to take it from 33 to 65. That's why we got to take everything that is there for us and line it back up with the Word. You say, oh, it's that important. It was that important to your prophet. Do you believe in your prophet? It was that important to him that he would say he would go into that cave and the angel of the Lord would come to him. The angel, not of the devil, not of man, but the angel of the Lord would come into that cave with him. Would open the scrolls and show him a message to preach. And he said when the angel left, he would go out and take it back to this black book to make sure that it lined up with the Word of God. Why? Because Paul stood there, as Brother George spoke the other night. He stood there and said, if any man, if any angel, or even if myself would speak a message contrary to what I'm speaking, let him be accursed. Our prophet would say the same thing. He would say, if you hear me say something outside of that Word, you take what the Word says. Yeah. It'd solve a whole lot of confusion in our churches. Yeah. If we'd study the Bible a little bit more. Yeah. If we would look and find everything that's happening to us now has already happened in the Old Testament. Yeah. We can break it down and see that's what's happening in our churches today. Doing away with the ministry. Doing away with the pastor. Why? Because some man wants to take the place of a preacher. And he can't do it behind the Word of God. What is it? We're depending on ourselves too much. We're living in a day of self-righteousness. The selfie day. We got to take selfies everywhere. Come on. I mean, you don't go nowhere. I do it. Let's just be honest. We go out and we take selfies, and it's all about me. It's all about me. When you take a selfie, you realize that's what you're doing. Because back in the day, they used to take pictures of who was with them. But then we got jealous because we wanted to be in the picture. Come on. We're living in a day all about us. And I'm not saying you're sinning when you're taking selfies. Don't let the devil trick your mind. I'll take them so we're all in trouble. But we're living in a day that we're so self-centered that we forget about the Word of God. We're living in a day that we're so self-righteous that we can go pull any quote that we want. We can go pull any scripture we want and justify all of the sin in our lives. And then we can go to bed and go, everything's good. Everything ain't good if you've left the Word. It don't matter how many quotes you got to defend your actions. It don't matter how much you think you can turn and twist this message to defend what you're doing. Brother Brenham taught us how to live. He taught us how to conduct ourselves. He taught us to be men. He taught us to be women. He taught us to live a righteous life before God. You can't get away from it. The problem is, we may have once had the Holy Ghost, but we let it go out on a limb somewhere. And we've drove it away from us. And we need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. The only way that a Christian can go and do the things of the world is that the Holy Ghost leaves him. A true Christian baptized with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost can't live like the world. It despises her very instincts. It despises her very gut. She can't get along with it. But if you run that Holy Spirit out, you're going to do anything you want to do. You can be just like the world. But don't lie to yourself and don't lie to me. If you've ever had a taste of that sweet Holy Spirit, you can't get away from it. It don't matter how much you drink. It don't matter how much you smoke pot. It don't matter how much you sniff crack cocaine. You can't get away from that feeling that that Holy Spirit gave you in your life. You can't get away from it. 1963 in the Message Absolute. Brother Brim says, now notice. He says, the reason we've got in here is because that every one of us makes our own absolute. Come on. Makes our own absolute. Why have we left the Word? Because each one of us has made our own absolute. Well, brother so-and-so is my absolute. Well, that's what's wrong with you. Well, this church is my absolute. Well, that's what's wrong with you. Well, my pastor is my absolute. Well, that's what's wrong with you. Look here, I don't believe my pastor's going to fail. But if my pastor fails, I'm pressing on towards the mark of God. I'm not falling by the wayside just because some man falls, just because some ideal falls. The Word of God is calling me to a higher place. My eyes aren't focused upon a human. It's not focused upon an ideal. It's not focused upon some church that, oh God, if the pastor of that church falls, thousands of people are going to fall away. You know why? Because they was looking at the man. They was looking at the church. They wasn't looking at the Word. You take a church on fire for God. You take everybody in that church that their eyes are focused upon the Word of God. The pastor could quit and walk out, and the church wouldn't lose a member. Why? Because they're looking at the Word. They're not looking at a person. Come on. He said, see. He said, we have our own absolute. He said, each church has its absolute. Each group has its own absolute. And they say, each one of them says, we are the truth, the way. We've got it all. You ain't got nothing to do with it. You're in the minority. Well, thank God I'm in the minority. Because everywhere I look in the scripture, his people was always in the minority. They never was in the majority. If they was in the majority in Egypt, they would have just overthrown them and took off. But they needed a God to come and deliver them from their problems. They needed a God to come bring them out from those that held them. And we need a God to break the bonds of sin away from us. We need a God to bring us from this world into his Word. Oh, he says, oh, it's got nothing to do with it. You're in the minority. He said, oh, we're the greatest group. And people like that says, you ought to do that. Until it's almost like in the days of Judges where every man did his own sight what's right. See, he thinks in his own sight he does. But he says, oh, they can't do that. There's too many different ways, see? And there's only one way. And Christ is that way. And Christ and his Word is the same thing. There's only one way to the cross of Calvary, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through the Word, which is Jesus Christ. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's only one way. What is it? We're living in a day that is the greatest day of all for influence. That's why so many people falls away when people falls away from this message. That's why people fall away. It's because they're influenced by man. They're influenced by a charismatic leader. They're influenced by somebody that can get up and jump up and down and shout up and turn a bunch of stones. And, you know, they used to say, we're in Pentecost, slap a few empty hands on a few empty heads and make a few people shout. And we're going to follow them all along the way just because of some signs they perform. But see, the bride's not looking at that. She's looking, is it the word test? Is it the acid word test? Are they preaching the word or have they left one word out? You say, how am I going to know that? That Holy Ghost inside of you. Brother Brennan says that Holy Ghost inside of you were amen every word of God. You know what that means? That means when you don't even understand it, that Holy Ghost is going to rise up on the inside and say, amen, that ain't nothing but the truth. Sister Hattie Wright didn't have a clue what really happened, y'all. She didn't have a vision before God of it happening. She wasn't standing in the woods and seeing it happen, but by faith, something on the inside of her rose up and said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And look what God did for her, blessed her and everything that she asked for. Why? Because she stayed with the word, not her feelings, not her emotions, not some charismatic leader that had made him a prosperous person. But she looked back to the word and she said, that's a prophet of God. I can believe what he says. I may not be able to understand it. I may not be able to explain it. I may not be able to take you to the exact date of the exact quote and when he said it. But I know that if he said it, I believe it. Because God called him to be a day for me. God called him in this day so that I could hear that voice. What is it our influences? You know, you take this world, the longer that we go just in the natural speaking, the longer that we go in this world, the more corrupted minds we have. The more insanity, Brother Brennan said she would go totally insane. If she ain't there, I don't want to be here when she does. Because she's there. But why is that? You know, there's scientific proof. There's studies that have been shown to tell the truth that it all started in the home. It already started when mom and daddy wasn't there. When one had a divorce and one of them wasn't there with them no more. And they didn't have a daddy figure in the house. They didn't have a mama figure in the house. They didn't have a leader in the house. We're talking naturally. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, we're living the same way. The scripture tells us to raise up your children in the way that they should go, that they shall not depart from it. But you know what? We try to make excuses for our youth. Come on. Ain't nobody in here loves youth better than me, so y'all can amen me. We try to make excuses for them and make a better, easier road for them to go. There is no other road. There's only one way to Christ, and it's not easy. And dying is a painful, and birth is a messy birth. But that's the only way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's because that's what he said. Now, that's what I said. He said, ye must be born again. There is no other way, but we try to make it more comfortable. You know what? We need to do like the eagles do when their babies get ready to fly and start pulling the cotton and the feathers and the leaves out and leave nothing but a bunch of briar patches. That way our children will quit relying upon what we do. They'll quit relying on us to take them to church. And you have an 8-year-old get up and say, Mama, we're going to church. Mama, you get up. You get dressed. I'm going to church this morning. Let them catch on fire. Let them see the same Jesus that you and I saw. And we'll see a change in their lives. But our influence holds them down. Oh, it's okay if you do that. No, it's not okay if you do that. It's okay. We don't want you not. We don't. Oh, you don't want us to be an oddball. Didn't our prophet say we was an oddball? Come on. We need to go back to the word and realize God is calling us to a higher place. We're not of this world. We need to quit partaking of all of its pleasures. We need to quit partaking of all of its pleasures. We need to look back at the word and say, God, I'm ready to go home. The bride's not ready because she's too self-sufficient in herself. Come on, church. She's too self-sufficient. She got too many Bibles. She got too many messages. She got too many tapes. She's got too many iPods. She got too many all over her phone. She can go get any answer she wants in a minute. But what we need to do is get down on our knees and say, God, you got me where to go. You got me what to listen to. You got me what to say to my children. You got me what to say to my... Come on. We're living in the day. Our influences has got us in the condition we are. You know what? I took a little note off of a. You can't get on to me because Brother Brennan took a note off a cigarette pack, And this ain't as bad. You walk down these aisles of the mall and you see when they fresh paint them and they hang the little sign on the wall that says, don't touch the paint, it's wet paint. Every kid in there is going to touch that paint. Now you take them signs off and paint that wall, nobody touch it. But just because there's a sign there saying don't do it, every kid, mine included, is going to go, how wet is that paint? Well, that's about the way we got in church. We don't want them to think it's all. No, yeah, you can touch the paint a little. Yeah, right. You can dabble in sin just a little. It's okay. No, it's not okay. God says don't touch it. God said abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's what the Word of God says. We need a call back to that Word. Where are we today? Look, we're living in a day that's dying. We're living in a day that's prophesying. I'm trying to hurry now because I ain't got enough time. So y'all just pull a little harder. I won't ask for 5 minutes, y'all. 2 Timothy 3 tells us exactly where we're at. It says this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. We ain't going to miss that ball game, but we'll miss church. Come on. It ain't just in the world. It's in our churches. It's in our lives. Look, we'll sacrifice everything that we have to make sure we go to a tractor pull on Friday night. See, I talk about myself. But if Brother Joseph sent a text out and said we was going to have church on Friday night, we'd have every excuse in the world we couldn't be there. But you know what? I changed plans a month in advance so that I'd have this Friday night available so I could go to the tractor pull. Come on. But Lord, we can give you a year in advance. I mean, he gave us 2 months ago that we're going to take a week in October and have a revival. How many's going to be here every night? Come on. Is it that important to you that you place it before everything else? That's what Scripture's talking about. Lovers of pleasures. Lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For such turn away, what is it? For this sort that they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning. You ever noticed it? They're always getting smarter. You take these people that have left the Word of God, that have cried out against this message, they get smarter every day. They find another way to attack God every day. They get smarter in this world, in intellect, in knowledge, every day of their life. And they always try to take it back to the Bible. Well, that's not really what the Bible meant. Well, who made you God? God wrote the book. I want to hear what he has to say about it. I don't want to hear what man has to say about it. I don't want to hear what women has to say about it. I don't want to hear what backsliders and unbelievers have to say about it. I want to hear what God has to say about it. And so when I want to hear what God says about it, I turn a tape on and listen to what the prophet says. And he corrects me. And he points me back to the Word. See, that's the greatest thing about the prophet in our day. He never took anything on himself. Anybody tried to build him up and he pointed them back to Christ. He pointed them back to this Word. Why? Because he was preaching what this Word was telling him to preach. He was preaching what Christ was telling him to preach. And Christ is his Word. Amen. What is it? Behold, a greater than Solomon is here, 1962. He said the prophet spoke of it. The Holy Ghost said specifically that in the last days there would come an intellectual age. He said men would be lovers of their own self, proud, blasphemous, disobedient, incontent, despise of those that are good. He says, you say them communists, Brother Branham. He said, no, sir, they're church members. Come on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Come on, children of God. Open your minds for a second and realize that when the devil comes at you, he don't come at you in a tattooed up, drunk single on the street. He comes at you from a message believing, quote unquote, believer from a church to tell you a better way. There is no better way. The Word is the only way. It is the only path. It is the only avenue. It is the only way for us to get to heaven. But He'll creep in. Right into our church. Right into churches around the land. You know, that's why I'm so thankful I got a pastor. When he sees him coming through that back door, he hits him. And you say, well, I don't think that was nice. Well, I like it when he's not nice to the devil. I like it when Brother George ain't nice to the devil. I like it when Brother Ben ain't nice to the devil. I like it when God allows me to lash out to the devil. It feels good. He's been hammering me all week, and I get a punch on him. It just excites me on the inside and makes me want to keep pressing on. Maybe that's what you need to do. Come on, children of God. This is a bride ministry. We're living in a day that we're not greater than you. We're not something that you love. We're not priests. We've just got a call that God's placed in our lives. But we're no more of a man, no more of a woman. We're living in a day that you as the bride should be able to rise up in the morning and say, devil, here I come. Devil, I'm tired of you attacking my kids. Devil, I'm tired of you attacking my health. Devil, I'm tired of you giving me these thoughts. I'm going to push play a little more. I'm going to read the scripture a little more. I'm going to pray a little more. I'm going to get to a place there ain't no room in your head for you. When the weakest, ain't that a quote? When the weakest of Christians, come on. Oh, I'm so weak. Well, you're perfect. That's exactly who the devil's scared of. He's scared of you because you don't think you're nobody. You don't think you can do anything right. You think you're just a failure, but you know your God is in the center of your life. That's why he's scared of the weakest of Christians. He ain't scared of these big mega pastors that's got it all figured out and they know all the quotes and they know exactly what to say. You know, they can't even fulfill Scripture because Scripture says when that day comes, think not what to say. But too many message preachers has already got it figured out what they're going to say. Come on. When the enemy attacks, God needs men of God that can hush their lip, can clear their mind, and say, speak through me, Lord. Speak through me, Lord. Let me hush what I think. Let me hush my opinion on the situation. Let me hush my idea of what I think you should do and let you speak through me. Let you speak your word through me. He said, you say, them communists, Brother Brennan, he says, no, they're church members. Right in amongst us, right in amongst this message around the land. Lives, wolves in sheep clothing, waiting to try to deceive you. But Matthew 24, as we've quoted so many times, there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. Shall show great signs and wonders. You know, that's why I'm always cautious when I see people running out of signs and wonders. Come on, let's just be honest for a minute. Look, people say everything they want to about me. I don't care. People tell me I'm against youth camps, and that's the biggest lie of the devil. I'm not against youth camps. But you can't go from youth camp to 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 youth camp and never sit under your pastor and grow. You're trying to live off an experience. You're trying to live off of emotion. You're trying to live off of hoopity-ha-ha, jump up and down and run. You know, sometimes you need to be corrected. They don't do much correcting at youth camps. They just build your faith and get you to run. There's a place for that. I'm not against that. But then there's a place for you to come home and sit under anointed pastoral ministry to guide you into how you should live. Not just get to the altar. That's just the first step. Now you've got to live a life before God. Now you've got to live in a place that the world is attacking you on every corner and you don't have a youth camp to get that emotion. But you've got a God that can give you that. Never understood how people can dance so much at a youth camp, come to their own church and bow the finger down. The God in me don't change. The God in me, if I'm sitting over there and Brother Joseph is preaching, I'm the same. If Brother George is preaching, I'm the same. If I'm preaching, I'm the same. If I'm at a football game, I'm the same. Because the God in me represents who I really am. And it's not changing by the emotions that I'm in. It don't change by the environment that I'm in. I am that person. I'm living, calling back to the Word. Oh my, how did this happen? Men's theology. What in 1961, a testimony of a true witness. He said, what's the matter is weak pulpits, weak schools, weak seminaries. That's what's the matter teaching men's theology. It's getting a man that'll get up here and just go exactly what the Baptists tell them to say. And we can all say amen because I'm talking about denominations. We can take the denomination. You know, I preached at a Methodist church a few times. And I praised God the other day or last year because they pulled out of the Methodist church when Methodists went their way. And now they're a community church. Hey, that might be hope for them. Come on. But you know what? When I went to go preach for them, they had an exact order of plan of actually how the service should go. They gave me 20 minutes. Ooh, that was a mistake. That wasn't going to happen. I can't even get wound up in 20 minutes. We're going to have the candle bearers go down the aisle at 10:03. And boy, they was. Come on. We about got that way in message churches. If the song leader goes to 1:30 minutes, we're going, come on. This preacher's going to be long now. Come on. We about got the same way. I'm sorry. I'm not really sorry. It's the truth. But they've got it exactly planned out how to do everything. And their, whatever they call them, gets orders from their headquarters of what to say or what to play. Come on. It's a denominational spirit that is trying to overtake the laity and submit them down to where they have no power. No wonder they want you to listen to all the word. Because you listen to all the words, you'll get out of their church. And then they're going to lose your tithes because you're a good tithes giver because you're a Christian. They're going to lose your offering because you're a good offering giver because you're a Christian. That's what they're concerned about. They ain't concerned about your soul. They're concerned about your money. What is it? Brother Brennan goes on. Testimony of a true witness. What's the matter? Weak pulpits, weak schools, weak seminaries. That's what's the matter. Teaching man's theology. He said, they give. You say today the strength of Christian. They just, he says, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Methodist. Huh. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Baptist. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a message believer. I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you was a Christian. He said, oh, no, that's the strength of Christianity. He said, how different, hallelujah. He said, how different from the first church. He said, they had none of these things to say. They had been filled with the energy of a power of the Holy Ghost that had set them free from sin and death. They wasn't normal. They had a love of God burning in their hearts that sent them to their death. There's something changed on the inside of them that they didn't kill if a man come up with a knife to cut their head off. They said, I love Jesus anyway. I love Jesus. Let the world know I love Jesus. Let me proclaim it from the mountaintops. I love Jesus. Why? Because something had changed. You know, when something changed, that's that callback. It's bringing us back in line with the Word. 1959, here you hear him. He goes on. He says, come with it with love. He said, the world is dying today for love. Yes. Come on. Look at the world we're living in today. Yep. You love somebody in this world today and they look at you funny. Because right. They ain't ever experienced love. Right. They never experienced true love. They never experienced somebody just to care for them. Just to appreciate what they do. You tell somebody at a grocery store or at a fast food restaurant, thank you for your service, and they're like, because they don't feel that. Love is left. He said, oh, Christians today, says we've got fine scholarly churches, wonderful buildings, but we got weak pulpits. He said, there's something wrong. The congregation don't feel for one another like they used to. There's something missing. The world is looking at that, Christians. He says, we need today is the baptism of love for one another. That with all men know you're my disciples. When you have love for one another. How will they know it? When you have love for one another. But ain't that what the scripture says? See, he just quoted word is all he did. See, so many times we listen to the prophet and we ain't read our Bibles enough to know he's quoting the word. He's quoting exactly what Jesus said. He's quoting exactly what Paul said. Why? Because he was anointed to preach the word to us. What we're living in this day, what is it? Oh, we all need a dedication, a rededication to Christ. Every one of us in here, we need to get so close to Christ. Brother Branham, I got it sitting right here for me to look at every time I open my Bible. He makes the comment. He says, we need to get so close to Christ. That at one nod, we go into action. He don't even have to open his mouth. He don't have to tug on us no more. He finishes the quote by saying, not be pushed around or shoved around like I have to be. Come on, we're living in a day that we're wanting to be called. We're designed to be back in the Word. We're designed to go into a rapture. But the only way to do that is come back to this Word. Forget all of our ideals. Why? Because if we've been born again, we are the Word. If Jesus is the Word, so are we the Word. What we're living in that day, he says, oh, Brother Burnham says in the church age, Laodicea in church age, he says, yes, sir. He said, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God. He said, it is its own mouthpiece. Sometimes I can say message churches is not a mouthpiece for God. They're their own mouthpiece. With the own messages they want you to hear. With the own quotes that they want you to hear. But they're not a mouthpiece of God anymore. He said, so God is turning on her. And he will confound her through the prophet and the bride. See, we're living in a day now that it's more than that prophet. It's that bride that's coming along behind her. It's that prophet that revealed to you and I that we are the bride of Christ. That we are the ones called to manifest what he preached. When he preached it, it was a word going forth. But now there's a bride that is calling back to that word that is manifesting exactly what he preached. He said he will confound her through the prophet. He's already did that. And the bride. He said, for the voice of God will be in her. The voice of God will be in you. When you speak, devils will tremble. When you speak, devils will get in line. When you speak, demons will flee from the van. Why? Because you're speaking as God. That's a callback to the word. We forget the power that God's given us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We forget the authority that we have, that we don't have to take an answer from the devil. That we can look right back at the devil and say, I ain't taking it. Brother Joel Forney would say the rattlesnakes. Hey, that UPS man, he did that for me, aggravating, because I worked at UPS. He said, UPS man, bring that box of rattlesnakes. You don't have to sign for it. But dear Lord, in this day, COVID comes on the scene and we all want it. Oh, let me tell you my experience with COVID. Let me tell you what COVID did to me. Well, let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit did for me. Let me tell you what this word did for me. He said, oh, he goes on and he says, for the voice of God will be in her. He says, yes, it is. For it says in the last chapter of Revelation, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Once more, the world will hear direct from God as it was Pentecost. But of course, the word bride will be ripped out as then in the first age. And he has cried out to this last age. Listen to this. He says, you have the word. You have more Bibles than ever. But you're not doing anything about the word except dividing it, hacking it into pieces, taking what you want and leaving out what you don't want. He says, you're interested. You're not interested in living it, but debating it. Say, look, the scripture tells us when the days are coming to the end, it will become a spiritual warfare. But the devil is so sly, he's made it a fleshly warfare in message churches. We're going to debate how long the skirt should be, how long the hair should be. We're going to debate, did the cloud really mean that or did it really not? We're going to debate all of these things, but the word is laying right before us. There is no debate in it. He's interested in a bride that wants to live it. He's interested in a bride that don't just want to be hearers of what the prophet said and try to twist it and quote it to what he wants to do. But he wants to say, that's what I want to be like. That bride that he's speaking of, that bride in Revelation that said she was found without spot or wrinkle, she's preparing herself for a wedding supper. How's she doing it? She's dressing herself with the word. She's not dressing herself with everybody's ideals. See, that's where we got it wrong. We want to listen to what this one says. We want to listen to what that one says, and then we can live that way. Look, I know everybody hates me for Christmas trees. Let's just be honest. I don't care what you do. A Christmas tree ain't going to send you to hell. Let's just be honest. Okay? But don't justify you having a Christmas tree by saying, Brother Branham had one. Justify it by saying, God ain't told me not to have it. I can have one. Let it be a relationship with you and God. Not based upon what. If you can do that, then you can do many things. Well, that guy criticized me. I think I'll shoot him. Well, the prophet tried to shoot him. Come on. We miss the simplicity of the prophet. The prophet brought a word that's eternal. The prophet was anointed to preach to us eternal spiritual things. He said, why? Because we're living in an age of spiritual warfare. Why are we still fighting on all these fleshly things? We ought to be to a point that the Holy Ghost can guide us and lead us in every decision of our lives. You know, let me tell you something surprising. I got a quote for it if you really want it. God has asked me to quit doing things that wasn't even wrong. Come on. Just to see if I'd obey him. Just to see if he was more important than what I was doing. But what do? When we get a little feeling that we shouldn't do something, we run to an iPad and pull the quotes. No, I'm okay. I'd rather obey that voice that's guiding me. I'd rather obey that voice that's bringing me back to the Word. What is it? He said, oh, once more they're here directly from God. Of course, it'll be the Word bride. Now you have the Word. You have more Bibles than you ever. He said, but you're not doing anything with the Word except dividing and hacking it into pieces. Taking what you want and leaving out what you don't want. You're not interested in living it. Oh, my Jesus God. He tells us in Revelations he'd rather us be cold or hot and not lukewarm. Come on, we're living in a day of lukewarmness. We're living in a day that we can satisfy and justify everything that we need. But let us hear from him. 1965, God's place provided place of worship. He said, now we could go on here for hours explaining that. He said, but I'm sure you understand it by your action. That when you respond to the truth and to the word. He said, so where we got any further? You can take anywhere you wish to. Everywhere you come, if it's the truth, it'll fall right back in line with the rest of the word. He says, you can't make the Bible say one thing one place and something else in another place. It's contrary to what he said first. It must be the same all the time. You realize every false doctrine that's come out of this message, they have to change 50 other ideals to support that doctrine. Get back. Call back. James chapter 3, verse 17 said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Galatians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temptness. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the afflictions and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Revelations 22, verse 12, is skipped down, and we know this scripture, but I want to read it to us tonight. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that call back to the word, that do his command, do my commandments, and they have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates into that city. Verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of that holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He which testify of these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Amen. Even so to the Lord Jesus. The Pergamos Church Age, Brother Brennan says, have you noticed Revelation 22:17? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. See, the Bride speaks the same word as does the Spirit. See, she is the word, Bride, proving she has the Spirit. In every church age, we hear these words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. If you have the Spirit in you, you will hear the word for your age. And those true Christians took the word for their age. So when you see all of those that fall away, they wasn't true. But thank God we are. Amen. Brother Mark, if you'd come. A call back to the word. Laodicea in church age. Brother Brennan says, and his cry is not only in the spirituals as a man by his spirit, but once again a prophet is in the land. Once more, God will reveal the truth as he did to Paul. In the days of the seventh messenger, the days of the Laodicean age, its messenger will reveal the mysteries of God as revealed to Paul. He will speak out, and those that receive that prophet in his own name will receive the beneficiary effect of that prophet's ministry. Amen. And they that hear him will be blessed and become part of the bride of the last day who are mentioned in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The corn of wheat, the bride wheat that fell in the ground at Nicaea has come back to the original word grain again. The last age. He said, praise God forever. He says, yes. He said, listen to the authenticated prophet of God who appears in this last age. He says, what he says is from God. Amen. And the bride will say, and the Spirit and the prophet and the bride will say the same thing. And what they say will have already been written in the word. What's important about going calling back to this word? Get off our little ideals. Get off our little tangencies. Get off of our little opinions. Did God really say that? Or is that just some man teaching me? Amen. What is it? He says, and what are they saying? They're saying it now. Come out from among her now and be ye separate. Amen. Stand with us. I believe in this day, not only the world's fallen apart, but Christianity has fallen apart. Not only Christianity fallen apart, but so-called message believers have fallen apart. And if you put your eyes upon a church, if you put your eyes upon a man, you're going to fall apart with it. But if you let your heart be called back to the faith of the fathers, to the original word. See, it was all in there. Brother George preached that the other Wednesday night and got me so tore up, I ain't been able to shut up about it since. Same old problem, just a new cart. They just found a new way to present it to you. But it's the same devil that it's always been. Brother Martin, let's sing something. Amen.
Let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let it live in me.
Is that true? Is that heard tonight?
Let it start.
Oh. desire tonight. Lord, let us put all of the divorces aside. Let us put all the distractions aside. Let us put our own lives aside and say, God, call me back. God, if there's anything in my life tonight, bring it to my remembrance. If I've done anything, Lord, would you show it to me? If he'll be sincere to you, he'll speak to you. He'll move for you. As you get ready to leave and you go home, stay sincere before him. If there's anything that I'm doing, God, is my desire. God, if there's anything I'm doing that you would like to take away, take it away from me. If you'd like to draw me a little closer, draw me a little closer. I long to lay in the bosom of you. I long for you to wrap your arms around me and say, you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. He's just asking, are you willing to be sincere before God and say, God, here's my life. You see who I am. You see what I do. You see my thoughts. You see my actions. What is it, Lord? Call me back. Call me back to your word. Amen. Let's sing another song. Amen. Let's just worship him a moment. Lift your hearts. Lift your hands. He's here.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, do you love
me? Let's sing it all.
The Holy Spirit to his church is a call back to himself. He is the Word. The beginning was the Word. He is the Word. God constantly calls us back to himself. And what a reminder tonight for all of us to come back to him. He's the absolute. He is the ultimate tonight. Certainly appreciate Brother Jonathan, the Word of the Lord. Challenge us once again to keep the Word focal in our lives. He needs to be central in our minds and our spirits. So easy to get distracted with life and things and just religion itself, or even our own little pet doctrines or pet quotes or whatever it is. We have to take all of Jesus Christ. He is the complete revelation of the Word of God. So thank God for the Word tonight. I want everything God has for us. everything the Lord has to say to his bride. I do want to make this announcement tonight. We want to let you know that Brother Amos and Sister Patient just had their baby yesterday. And little boy Aquila. So we just thank the Lord for that. So if you will remember Sister Patience in your prayer, the Lord will just be with her. You know, they don't have any other families here but us. This is their church family. So let's just keep them in our prayers. I believe some of the sisters are going to make a visit to them in the next few days. So remember Amos and Sister Patience in prayer, and little Aquila. The Lord will just continue to strengthen them. The Lord willing, tomorrow we will try to have a work evening here at the church. We've got a few things that we have to finish up here. Our meetings are coming up next weekend. Can you believe that? Next weekend is our anniversary meetings here at the church. So if you can come out and help us, I will certainly appreciate it. We'll try not to take up your whole evening, but just get enough work done here. To tie up some loose ends. So if you can come out, we certainly appreciate it. All the young men, we need all of your muscles, okay, to help us out. Praise the Lord. If you got good muscles, then we want to see how good they are. We're going to put them to use here tomorrow. Anytime after 5 tomorrow, if you can come out and help us. This is for the brothers. We would appreciate that. Brother Matt will kind of guide you in the direction that you need to get some of the work loose ends tied up. Certainly appreciate you tonight. Let's be in prayer for the service coming up through the weekend. A lot of things going on. It's exciting to know that we have an appointment with Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus keeps all of his appointments. This weekend service, we're looking for a grand time of fellowship. Children's church will be at 9:45. Sunday school is at 10. And we have adult Sunday school. People say we don't play tapes in this church. We do. Come right at 10:30. You will hear the prophet play. A tape will be played here. And then at 11 will be worship and more preaching here going on through service. So we certainly appreciate all the activities and all that is planned. Let's just bow our heads now just for a moment. For those of you online, may the Lord bless you until we meet you again here on Sunday morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for